Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Alafia, Alafia, we greet the ancestors. Mojuba Olo Jamari, Mojuba Olo Rune, Mojuba Olofi Ashe. I praise the God, the Creator. I praise the God of heavens. I praise the God of worldly affairs. So shall it be. Mojuba Oloju Oni, Oni Omo Olofin, Otula Omo Olofin Oruni Omo Olofin Iremi Omo Olofin Ashe Asheo Ashe. I pray the God of today. Today is the child of God. Tomorrow is the child of God. Day after tomorrow is the child of God. My good fortune is the child of God, and so shall it be. Ashe Yago Ifa, one who is the witness of all destinies, one who is more effective than medicine is. You are now listening live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience to the Divine Prince, Krishna, author and advisor, Elagun Oloye Hudu Obeya Bokur, sharing with you with all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African Hudu world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing. If you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, my personal affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my work along this divine all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the Divine Prince, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine all-blessed reality. And so it is, alas, Ashe. Today is Sunday, July 23rd, 2017, New Moon Sunday, and I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you, live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, High Functions, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo, won't bow down, don't know how, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city of America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along the spiritualist Voodoo Obeya life path and journey, passing down the great Obeya stick along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, and minerals. Please continue to join me here live and always in archive at your leisure and convenience at Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/the-divine-hype. My live listening and call-in number at noon U.S. Central Standard Time is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your question, comment, or request, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. This will alert me that there is a caller in queue, and I will open your mic and invite you into this conversation, this sacred space, shared sacred space of gods and goddesses, where we share and edify and lift each other up with the truth, with the knowledge, with the information. Be mindful, I do not do live readings here. I've been hosting this show since December 23rd, 2008, and we found that it's more valuable to share, teach, than to spend time doing personal and private readings. If you wish a reading from me, please do send me an email at divineprince@houseofthedivineprince.com. divineprince@ofthedivineprince.com. You can visit my website 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at www.houseofthedivineprince.com. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Eshu Alek Buana Kosi Wary Awu Ondo Utuli Iwo Ada Afanbo Osi Obatalan Ni Ita Ni Evo Onilu Ravani Shu. Eshu is a respected elder lost, confronted, uncovers fools that one birth in mysteries uses truth to own you. He calls a scattered to feed poverty. Obatala shakes rascals to have sacrifice. The owner of warning is the one who is Eshu. Aboro, Aboye, Abochiche, Ashe. May I ever be accepted. May I ever reach a room. May I ever come to pass. So we say Ashe. Understanding always that spiritual knowledge and power lies in its efficacy, ability to produce and manifest powerful, reliable, tangible, lasting manifestation and results right here and right now in this divine moment in time space. All else is vanity, all else is foolishness, all else is ego. Asheo. I also want to quickly announce that my chat is open. If you're in the Blog Talk Radio platform, you have a Blog Talk Radio account as a host or listener, my chat box is open, and so you can enter your questions and comments in the chat, and I'll try and be mindful and attentive. We've been talking about revolutionary voodoo and voodoo. We've been talking about lineage, family, relationship building, not only in the process of initiating in these traditions, joining these traditions, but also literally how we relate to one another, brother and sister, parent and child, family, community, grassroots. These are all intricately connected, intricately tied together in interdimensional time space, multi-dimensional time space. It exists in our realm of magic, in our realm of spirit, but it also exists literally in our DNA chain as we build family, ancestry, lineage, a path that we walk biologically, ultimately spiritually, as we carry ancestral DNA, ancestral memory encoded in us, within us, and upon us. Honoring the ancestors is more than just a generic notion. We show reverence to Mother Africa. We show reverence to Aleke Boulan. We give thanks to our ancestors of all nationalities and all ethnicities. But when we operate in demonstration, what we say we know, what we believe, what we've studied, what we've learned, what we've prophesied, what's been ingrained upon us, what we truly believe shows up in your demonstration, what you do, your actions, your activities. So tracing DNA, tracing ancestry, it's not just to Africa in its generic form, in its generalized form, but to a tribe, a family, an ethnic group. Advances in DNA research have shed light on the multifaceted makeup and origins of today's African born in America. In fact, most of today's African-American population can trace their ancestry back to one of just 46 ethnic groups. These large regions of Atlantic Africa were the major contributors to the slave trade. So we cannot discuss ancestors. We cannot discuss voodoo without talking about DNA, ancestry, lineage, family, and ultimately the slave trade. Upper Guinea, including the modern countries of Senegal, Mali, Gambia, Guinea, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Cote d'Ivoire, Lower Guinea, including the southern portions of Eastern Ivory Coast, Ghana, Togo, Benin, and Nigeria, and West Central Africa, which encompasses mostly the western portions of the Democratic Republic of Congo and Angola. These ethnic tribes, these ethnic groups, these African tribes from which most of the African-American population of today evolved from are the Wola, Mandinka, Guinea, Gambia, Fulbe, Fulani, Fula, Jola, Balanta, Falupo, Mendi, Susu, Nalu, Guan, Fu, Kapele, Balanta, Bisu, Biafara, Tammy, Akan, Ashanti, Fanchi, Gah, Ebe, Fon, Yoruba, Gurma, Dagomba, Mahi, Bariba, Hausa, Igbo, Ibu, Ijo, Efik, Igala, Kalabari, Iksekiri, Ibibio, Edo, Duala, Tikar, Bamun, Bamileke, Teke, Yaka, Chokwe, Lunda, Congo, Luba, Luchaze, Mbundu, Obimbunda, and the like. Because many of these ethnic groups have subgroups, and we would start listing off other families, other dialects, other languages, other expressions of the system that we today unify under this umbrella of HCR. Just as we unify these traditions under the umbrella that is Voodoo. When we say Voodoo, we are speaking a general word, a general language, a general term, which encompasses all of these ethnic groups. When you do a search, a Google search on Voodoo, you're going to come up with English documents, often with writers and authors with English or American or UK names. You're not going to see very many Wolof names, Mandinka names, Jola names, Fulbe names, because people who know themselves identify through themselves. We are still in search of selves. So to claim consciousness, to claim Voodoo, to claim Ifa, to claim a connection to African, to Black consciousness, without this awareness, this knowledge, this information, you cannot even begin to then enter a conversation about spirituality and religion. In order to understand how Voodoo manifests, you have to individually, specifically, seek out these families. Search Wolof. Search the religion of Wolof, the culture of the Wolof, the people of Wolof. You get a very different response from your search engine. And in those documents, you will find writers and authors with Wolof names, with West African names, and they will be spelling Voodoo with two O's, unless they are writing their document in French. The argument over O's and U's and N's is one of ignorance and one of linguistic semantics. In order to truly understand Voodoo, you have to understand the author of the literature that we are exposed to, that are referencing, teaching, archiving the story of Voodoo. So you have to then understand a little Spanish, understand a little Portuguese, understand a little French. And I'm not suggesting that we all go out now and learn another language, though that would be a blessing. Many Black people around the world speak multiple languages. It is only the African in America who speaks only one. And some of us barely speak that one good. So in order to have a host of references from within the community of peoples who actively participate and practice into these religions, you have to look at their culture. You have to look at the people themselves who operate within the confines, the realm that is our rituals, our practices, our divination is steeped in ethnological archives, ethnology, ethnic groups, and who we are as a people. A myriad of misinformation and myths abound concerning origins of Buddhism. By far, some of the most popular claims that continue to endure is the notion that Buddha originated either in Haiti, Nigeria, or in the former Dahomey, West African kingdom now known since 1975 as Benin. Many seekers of Buddha, after visiting their local diviners, when troubled by spirit, will proclaim that their root reading indicated they are somehow called to Buddha, and that their ancestors hail their root reading, suggesting that they are of lineage to Buddha people and the ancestors of the country of Benin. Some are even told that they descend from the royal lineages of the Indian kings and queens. Some Americans who travel to Benin and might through happenstance encounter the Buddha culture are duly initiated, especially for money. Upon their returning to the U.S., a unique phenomenon occurs in which they arrive proclaiming the same mystical story, namely that Dahomey is the birth home of the Buddha religion, and that its chief priests are the supreme royal chiefs over all of Buddha, and indeed in the world. To further obscure and complicate matters, in the West, the first independent Black Republic, Haiti, is also universally credited by Western scholars as developing the Buddha religion, or at least introducing the Buddha religion to America. High-profile academic journals, trade books, authors, and APR practitioners continue to unquestionably perpetrate the myth, the lie, the untruth as well. The claim that Haiti introduced Buddha religion into America might survive historical and academic scrutiny only if one were to completely disregard or accept the notion that the more than 50 million Africans transported across the Atlantic Middle Passage directly onto American shores arrived linguistically, spiritually, and culturally ignorant. That is, until they were culturally and spiritually civilized by other enslaved Africans, who incidentally were transported across the same ocean from the same or proximate geographical region to suffer the same exact fate. It would, however, be correct to state that groups of Haitians were brought to the southern U.S. by slave owners escaping the Cuban War of Independence, 1898, and then the Haitian Revolution, 1791-1804. These groups brought with them their own Haitian Voodoo tradition, adding to or merging with the Voodoo traditions that were already well established in free townships and underground as late as the 1800s by the Africans already enslaved here in the U.S. Lastly, the only historic connection of Nigeria to the Voodoo religion is the nation of Ketu in what is now the Republic of Benin in southwestern Nigeria, known by the Ebe as Ame Dodofe. It is the more ancient ancestral home of the Ebe, we call them Ewe, the Fon, and other Gbe Voodoo groups prior to the expansion of the Oyo Empire into their region around 10 to 1100 BC. It was the expansion which triggered the constant warfare, forcing the Ewe and other Gbe groups to flee between 1100 and 1300 BC to Ajo Tado, present-day Togo. Another runner-up for that stubbornly persistent pop cultural belief, largely perpetrated by some Western anthropologists and a majority of Christian evangelicals, is the myth that Voodoo is a slave religion. I've even heard some so-called radical revolutionary conscious folks now trying to separate what they call fake hoodoo and voodoo from what they say is authentic slave religion, or religion created by the poor, ignorant, and superstitious Africans free and enslaved. Their newly invented pagan faith, they claim, was merely employed as a psychic bomb to either help them to endure or to aid them in surviving their preordained suffering from slavery and later Jim Crow and then segregation. Counter to this is the myth that the West Africans were already Christianized either by European colonial invaders of their native country before they arrived here or were Christianized on the slave ships en route to the New World. It is true that in the 1400s, Portuguese missionaries were commissioned to coerce the Dahomey kings and other local chiefs to convert to Catholicism. Some did for political and economic reasons. However, this opportunistic ploy in no way affected the overwhelming masses of Africans who saw no divine benefit in adopting Christianity. Further, the fact that the enslaved Africans neither spoke nor could they read foreign European languages of their captors, coupled with the esoteric nature of their spiritual, made it impossible without facing a grim death or long suffering to instantaneously convert to a theological religion which condoned their enslavement or enforced them to abandon very deities and ancestors who aided them in their survival across the Atlantic. And I've said it in the 9 years, going into 10 years, I've been doing this show. There's no way that we came here and were completely blank consciously in terms of who our God was, what the songs that we had heard. Many of you remember hymns from childhood. Many of you remember Negro spirituals. You ain't saying Kumbaya since the sixth grade, but I bet you remember the words. So to assume that somehow by way of the Middle Passage, a year-long journey or a two-year-long journey, enslavement here in the Caribbean or in South America or in the U.S., that they somehow beat that out of us is a ridiculous notion. At least we arrive at the heart of what might perhaps be one of the most enduring, unchallenged claims surrounding the true origin of the Hindu religion, that being the former West African kingdom of Dahomey, now present-day Benin, although on the decline, Dahomey was one of the most predominant warrior kingdoms still standing when European merchants arrived. They were lured by Dahomey's competitive claim of being the major center of commerce for the slave trade. During this turbulent period, Dahomey was struggling through a long war resulted in it paying tribute to the Oyo Empire in Nigeria. Both kingdoms were entangled in the fierce cutthroat battle for global expansion and homogeny in the West African region. Remember, Oyo is often accredited with the birth and existence of Shango and many of the Fataki, the story, the myths, understand it relates to Ifa proper. So even when we go back to the slave trade itself, this battle to separate voodoo, make the ethnic groups surrounding Yoruba land somehow inferior to less than, less cultivated, less civilized, goes far beyond how we view spirituality, religion, revolution, politics. It goes right back to enslavement. Both kingdoms also had amassed huge spoils of land, natural resources, gold, prisoners of war, an enormous surplus of slaves. However, being financially devastated and pressured by the Oyo Empire out of its tributary, Dahomey under King Agaja was forced to intensify its unprovoked raid upon the neighboring villages. This he ordered for the sole purpose of selling the innocent captives off as slaves to the Europeans for profit. Dahomey's long and enduring relationship with Europe also made it the sole mecca of choice for Western anthropologists and other researchers. In conjunction with sparse archaeological data, Dahomey's oral history was the most relied upon by European scholars in reconstructing and documenting its ancient past. However, this history was often recounted by the powerful ruling aristocracy of royal kings, specifically by the what's called Emulo. That's spelled U-E-M-U-H-O-S. The official court storyteller, the griot, if you will, in another language, or the king's scribes, or by the family and servants. Much as in America, when chronicling the history of the Native Americans or of slavery, it is the victor's version of this history that has been repeatedly recounted and universally disseminated in Western academia and in the world. Conversely, the claims made of Voodoo's origin, beginning through Dahomey's royal lineage of divine kings, is the only version made available to the world as a true and official account. But is it really? And based on what we understand about ethnicity, please, I'm begging you, do your DNA. If you haven't done so already, find out who you are, where you come from. Are you Wolof, Mandinka, Jola, Balanta, Fulupo? And then when you do your study, your search into Voodoo, and not just Voodoo, traditional African religious systems, you will find that this royal practice of elevating the victors, elevating the wealthy, elevating the most empowered is a practice that we continue to apply when we have a discussion about what Voodoo is, about what the ATR religions are. Let me go to my phone lines before I run out of time. If I have more than one person in your area code, I'm also going to call out the first three numbers of your phone number. So I'm opening 864. Who's calling and where are you calling from? Welcome to the show.
Hotel, brother. Uncle Jocelyn, this is your brother, Equanive. I'm calling from South Carolina, brother. How you doing?
All is indeed a blessing. Alafia Habar Ghani.
Alafia.
Did you have a question or
I just wanted to kind of add on to what you were discussing. And actually, my walk with uplifting and uprooting those important traditions for our ancestors. And a lot of times, you know, now that I have embarked in the path of the Kemetic priesthood, we do understand, or we're finding out now that, you know, Juju or Heka was very important, even on the Nile Valley or to the Nile Valley culture.
That's right.
So I know a lot of people try to separate Africans and they weren't doing this, but these were all tools for all of our ancestors. So with these words of power, or knowing how to tap into what they call the Meduneta, or the language of nature, and I'm pretty sure in many cultures and traditions of our African lineage, we do have that, where we are not feeling like we are under a quote-unquote god, or under the control of a goddess. But these were all intrinsic forces of nature that were actually components of you. These were also our ancestors. As we look at water, mm-hmm. we look at air, we look at carbon, the earth, we look at even fire, as a lot of times that's coupled or compared to the spirit. You know, your body is not any good if you don't have that fire, if you don't have that willpower, that drive to make your body go. And a lot of times our disconnect now has been one that has come while we are culturally lifting up that the ways of the European tradition. We oftentimes we stomp on the things, and in this case, whether it be the Orishas, whether it be our dependency on the Gungun, our dependency on the Jurti, the Jurtiyu, the Netaru, even understanding, you know, the language that basically lifted up and exalted those things. All too many times, that's something that we spit on, and we, you know, because this past year I had the opportunity, even me as being a Kemetic priest or in the Kemetic priesthood, we had the opportunity of going over to the temple Elisha Iray down in Gainesville, Florida, and participating in the biggest Igbo here in North America, which that was the Akamalo, that was the bull.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people would look at that as so foreign, and hey, they're over there with the blood and they're killing the bull, but it was so much more than that. Even as we're looking at the way that we eat, you know, somebody has to kill our food. And by the sacrifice mm-hmm. that us men put into, you know, that ritual, it was more than just killing the cow or killing the bull to go eat something. Because I'm a vegan, you know, and I do know that when I participated in the event, it was more cultural. It was more the fact that I was here with my family. Even these were people I had never known before in my life, but I knew that we were in a place of giving African reverence and doing things the way that our ancestors did. And, you know, that made me very happy. So I was like, whatever we're doing, it feels so good. It feels so right. But all too many times, our people will look at that Igbo, or they'll look at that festival as being, oh, man, why would we want to do something like that? Or why would you want to go over there and kill a bull or kill a... But this is something, hey, we all need to know how to kill or be able to do, make this type of practice, because this is part of our survival. You know, if we don't know how to,
brother,
you know, kill our animals, if we don't know how to sacrifice
right.
and go out there in the wilderness and actually kill it, but not in an inhumane way. We did it in a very humane way, even looking at divination again. You know, speaking with the animal that you are actually going to take mm-hmm. the life of. So it is basically made for, or that sacrifice would be done for a continuity, to continue life rather than destroying life. You understand? So I think making those
brother,
things
brother,
practical.
Brother,
oh, I'm sorry.
Hold on.
Brother,
slow down, because you hitting it hard and we're going to run out of time. I want to highlight
sorry,
two
brother.
Things that you said that I think are really important. When you started talking about, you went from our conversation, which was about West Africa, straight to Kemet. And that is right in line with what I'm trying to share today. Even when we look at the Akan and many other ethnic groups in West Africa, there are word usage that goes back to Kemet. The practice of voodoo,
that's right.
many suggest, originated in Kemet and in East
that's
Africa
right.
and migrated with the people to West Africa. There's an oral tradition of the ruling, what's called the Abrade people or the Aduna clan in Ghana, that ties them back to Egypt. And it is said that they migrated from the north, they went through Egypt and settled into Nubia, what we now know as Sudan. Around 500 AD, the 5th century, due to the pressure exerted on the Nubia by Aksumite kingdom of Ethiopia, Nubia was shattered, and the Akan people moved west and established small trading kingdoms. These kingdoms grew, and around 750 AD, the Empire of Ghana was formed. Even when we go into the study of many of our ritual words, Alafia, for instance, is said to have a Arabic origin that came out of the East. It is not an original Yoruba word. they cannot tie it down to a West African ethnic base. Something else you said I want to highlight before we run out of time, because they're going to cut us off abruptly at 45 after the hour, was when you started talking about killing for food and meat. Ain't no revolution without being able to feed yourself.
That's right.
We can't pull ourselves away from Babylon, America, or anything else. If we can't hunt, we can't fish, supply water, if we can't feed the coming generation, the children.
That's right.
If we can't keep ourselves alive. But you're hitting it deep, brother. I invite you to be a more regular participant here at High Noon with Divine Prince and Ruby New Orleans with the Secret Recipes.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And this is a great, conversation.
Of what you brought today.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Here. No, I was just saying that this is a much needed conversation as we are having a discussion talking about our African, our ancient African traditions and those things that were important to our ancestors. So if they were important to our ancestors in yesterday, of course they must be important to us in the now. And maybe that's why we are failing, because we have spit on those tools that were important for life-sustaining cultures and traditions and civilization. So thank you, brother. This is a much-needed discussion, and I definitely will be back.
Thank you. We certainly appreciate you. Always a blessing. Josh, did you have a comment or a question? Your hand is not raised, but I want to give you an opportunity before Block Talk Radio cuts us off in 3 minutes if you did want to say something. If not, I'm
going to I was actually listening to what the brother was saying and all the information he was bringing in, soaking up all just that continuity of just I like to see that, like being able to create a space to be able to bring others of the African traditional religion together to be able to join and be cohesive and work cohesively together forward in this journey that we're all on. And like it's not something that we cannot do alone. And like you said, it takes, even with the study of voodoo and the practices of African traditional religion, you can't do that behind closed doors. You can't do that in the sacred space alone. You have to continue to reach out outside of yourself to be able to grow and be able to receive the good ashe and the good blessings that are out there and information that's out there that will take you to that next level. And I agree with everything, like you said, that he said, and it's must. And I'm glad that it's happening. This is evidence. This is the proof of it, that these traditions are all together and all needed to come together in some type of way to cohesively move forward. So.
And when we have brothers that can demonstrate like that, you know, I'm not just representing a culture, I'm not just representing a tradition. I can speak the language. I've studied, I've done the research. You begin to find that universal theme that he talked about that transcends just language, geographic location.
What?
That in no way was expunged or erased from our people during this process of the Middle Passage. So we've got to go back in order to move forward. I thank both of you, all of you who are on the phone lines, even those of you who did not speak up or raise your hand today. I certainly appreciate you for supporting the show, always being present. Block Talk Radio is going to cut me off in about 15 seconds or so. So I thank you all. Join me again tomorrow at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, for Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes here on Block Talk Radio. All is truly and indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Congo Square. The Omus Indians